Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2020 season preview for the Gold Coast Suns. So what we're going to do is go through each team, a quick look back at season 2019, and then what's in store for them for 2020. So starting off with last year's Wooden Spooners, the Gold Coast Suns, only 3 wins for the year and obviously finished 18th. So what do you think were the highlights for them for the 2019 season?
Getting a priority pick.
I think that kind of happened after the season. But
It's in part of the 2019 season area. Happened in 2019.
Yep,
happened,
okay.
Happened during the season. So I'm counting that as the 2019 season. Plus it was approved before the end of the year anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, it's all about looking forward to 2020 with those picks. And really the way that Gold Coast are trying to build their list now, they're looking at, I'd say, 2022-23.
I mean, getting half the team that isn't able to drink is probably an interesting way to go about it.
Good move for the Gold Coast.
And they don't have much like media pressure in the off-season, do they? Do they have any media presence at all?
I think they'd gladly take pressure if it meant any attention whatsoever.
Yeah,
I reckon half the team could walk around Melbourne and still be non-recognised.
Yeah. I don't know, man. They'll have recruiters all over them.
That's where they might get recognised, yeah.
Tom Harley walking behind them all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are looking good in... They've got the best 18 and 19-year-old team running around at the moment. You know, in the TAC Cup, they probably do really, really well.
Well, they'll smash the NEFL too.
Yeah. On the field this year, I mean, they did string three wins together early on in the season, all by single digits, mind you. I think their total winning margin for the year was 10 points.
Yeah. Do we know how much they have any close losses?
Round one, they lost by a point, and I think they lost to Melbourne with a mad dash. I can't remember who it was. Somebody hit the post late in the game.
I mean, that's not a terrible result.
In a clusterfuck of a game.
They lost to St Kilda twice by a combined margin of 5 points.
There you are.
There you are.
So they had some close ones, but they had some fucking blowouts.
Yes, well, that's to be expected for the side that finishes 18th. But I guess another highlight is none by over 100.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first time in the last couple of years they've done that.
Yeah, it's been a little while. They've gone a whole season. As for highlights, I put down Jared Witts. So Witts was named co-captain this year. And there was more than one game where he absolutely dominated. I think was leading the league at one stage in hitouts to advantage or just playing old hitouts, one or the other. For a bloke that was an offcut from Collingwood a few years ago. He's got to say, he's gone up there and made the most of it, and he's going to have a long career with Gold Coast now.
Well, they've had a bit of a history of actually having a bit of talent in their midfield, really. It's just a matter of holding on to them. But
always.
It seems like a lot of people have made a decent crack at getting a second chance there.
There's just as many that have made a decent retirement fund.
Well, especially at the start. Yeah, there were people that just made a few extra bucks, extended their career by a season or two, put that in their retirement fund. Nathan Bock, I'm looking at you.
Oh, he wasn't Robinson Crusoe. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
We sent a couple up there too. I think that they have announced a few extra signings during the year as well. Mm-hmm. I think none bigger than King, because all the talk was about not if, but when he goes to join his brother at St Kilda.
Yeah.
Now, you think there's two brothers who are talking about, how about I come join you? Oh, mate. Do you really want to? Like, I could probably join you, mate. Yeah. It's not going great. Oh, fuck. Do you reckon we just go somewhere else?
Well, big Benny King up in the Gold Coast. He was talked about all year, like, you know, they're a St Kilda family and all that. And I don't know what St Kilda family means. I think it just means they barracked for St Kilda.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's didn't do any media, but everyone said, it's, you know, when is he going to sign with St Kilda? You know, do they get him this year? Or do they wait till next year when his 2 year contract's up? And they re-signed him. I'm like, good on you. You know what they should do? Go after Max.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
To be honest, they'd be remiss not to, because they should go after anyone talented they have a chance of getting. Yeah. Every team should, always.
And it would be great to have, you know, those two bookending your side in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, and Ben and King, I mean, obviously had a good season, but he's got a lot more ability to shine up on the Gold Coast and probably push his price up, get a few more options. Yeah.
Well, you get paid well back there.
Yeah.
His highlight of the year, though, was punching a teammate accidentally. So
probably deserved it.
I mean, it was a highlight, though.
Well, it is, isn't it? It's got to be.
I was keeping up with the Gold Coast tradition as well.
Who was that teammate? Can we name him? How many Gold Coast players can we name?
A few, because I looked at the list today doing research for this. But yeah.
Right, well, I got Brandon Ellis.
You know what? You've got more Richmond players named Ellis up there.
Yep.
So stick with that. All right. So we've done the highs as short as they were. The lows, I mean, there's one really, isn't it? And that's 19 losses in a row to finish off the year. And
to start the season 3-1.
Yeah.
And that is your last winning game in round four.
Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it? And really, they didn't look competitive for most of those other games. The margins, like we said, didn't get into triple figures, but only because teams were resting.
Yeah, and a lot of times for Gold Coast through the years, there's always been something to, you know, have some sort of resemblance of an excuse where they've got Commonwealth games coming up, so they've got the facilities, they're struggling to keep players, but they've had a lot of talent there that they've got rid of this season that basically just were shit.
Yeah,
but I
don't know what you do.
I don't see that game plan either.
Yeah,
like they're not playing the keep away handball game that some teams play.
Yeah,
they're not playing the run out the half back line that some teams play. They're just playing a scramble for a lot of it.
A little bit. I do think that they are trying to do a game plan. They just are not skillful enough to carry it out yet. So you can't see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and I've got nothing to base that on. It's just they can't be doing nothing.
How many times did you watch Gold Coast play when they weren't playing your team?
No.
Not a lot.
No, never.
I think I watched maybe three for the whole season.
If I did, it was only because there was absolutely nothing else on. There was nothing good to watch. You know, even when they started, when they were terrible, you'd watch because, oh, you know what, Gary Ablett's still as good as ever.
Yeah. And the thing is, I watch live sport over anything else on TV. So if it's live, I watch it.
But think of it, all right, who's the highlight to watch there? And it was like Wits. I did watch every minute of the last round just because they fucking gifted Jeremy Cameron Coleman. Sons of bitches.
But, I mean, you're right, though. There wasn't anything. You know what? I'm going to tune in for that. There's some excitement there. Even they had, you know, the number one draft pick running out for them. And you didn't see Lukosius or Rankine, you know, dominating.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't either.
Sorry, they didn't have the number one draft pick either. That was Sam Walsh, obviously. But, keep going.
But I think you end up with that sort of Melbourne-itis when you expect too much from a first-year rookie.
Yeah.
You might have been pick two, pick three or whatever, and the same next year. It's not until 3 or 4 years later you actually see them star.
Yeah, but Sam Walsh was pick one.
Yeah.
We saw him star this year.
Yeah.
Okay, that is an exceptional talent, obviously, but they had two other picks in the top five or top six. Yeah. I think Ben King was six.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Sam Walsh was a star for his age.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the All-Australian conversation or anything.
No. I don't think anybody has.
No. The only times you'd be in that conversation as a rookie is if you're coming from another league back in those days.
But Carlton supporters would turn up to see, you know what, there's Sam Walsh. Look at that.
They turn up to say, you know, to be able to say in 5 years' time, oh, I was there for his first game. That's what they're turning up for. And that's fine. You get a bit of hope about it. I think that's what every team should have. But I hope Rankine and Lukosius and that turn into that sort of player.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't know if they'll turn into that sort of player and still be at Gold Coast.
Exactly.
Did they restructure their coaching setup this year or
end of the year
so far?
End of the year, yeah.
I think it's really kind of us to not have a highlight of the week so we didn't overshadow the highlights of Gold Coast.
True. And they did, in the other lowlights, they did lose one or two more players. You know, obviously Jack Martin, which we'll get to when we do the outs. But I think at least they didn't lose any of their first or second year, you know, their top 10 picks.
Yeah, yeah.
That they've had the last couple of years.
And look, pickups that they got aren't terrible either. Like, I mean, they're not great to get past it, but
they're not marquees.
Yeah, no. But to me,
that's right. If those not marquee players, your average, they're doing okay. But,
yeah, but they're not.
Yeah, but there's nothing about them that I fear.
Yeah. No. Not yet.
And the thing with the pickup, sorry, is that they're coming from clubs with successful systems. And so it's not so much what they're going to do on field. It's about how they're going to change the club off the field and obviously provide insight into those clubs.
Or else they're looking at getting players' mates in and then trying to get that player in. Just get a bunch of
the Brisbane way.
Get a bunch of Richmond players up there and then make an offer for Dusty.
Yeah, they just kidnap them like the North Korea way.
Again, you line up their list of 18 and 19-year-olds, I say it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's not ready yet, obviously, and they've got to learn to play in the AFL system and whatever game style that they're trying to put together.
Yeah.
But let's have a look at 2020 then. We'll start off with their ins. So you did mention the Tigers there, and Brandon Ellis has taken a too-good-to-be-true offer to go up to Brizzy. I think it was something like $600,000 over 3 years what it's rumoured to be.
I did like how Richmond supporters handled that, though, because it's fair to say in the past they've been a little bit down on players who've left the club.
Yeah.
But since they've had success, like, oh, no, fuck it, go. We don't care. We've got a premiership or two now.
Well, two, and when the numbers are thrown up, you know, I hope that even bloody Dimmer went to him and go, mate, we can't match that.
Exactly.
Yeah. What, you fucking dumb?
And I mean, if he doesn't try and get some sponsorship from Bolter Brewing up there, then he's just kidding himself. They've got sold for $150 million, so there's plenty of cash going around the Gold Coast at the moment.
Well, maybe they could turn it into some sponsorship.
Well, that is owned by, bought by CUB, so they could expand their portfolio up north, which is now Asahi. But
Zach Smith has gone back home.
Has he really?
Obviously, started his career up at the Gold Coast and came down to Geelong for more success.
Yeah.
Found out he was playing more VFL than AFL.
Yeah.
Very interesting, though, too, because Ruck was one of the areas where Geelong really struggled this year.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get a game.
Well, they had Radigalia stepped up and did a lot of things. Was a little bit. But is
he, yeah, he was more playing up forward even.
Yeah.
I like the way he went about it, though.
Yeah. Stick to Gold Coast.
But Zach Smith, last time he was there, I thought he looked like one of those players that were really going to kick on.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the place where he gets a second chance. Now, he's not too crazy,
obviously. No, he's not too crazy.
Late 20s, like 27, 28?
I think 26, around there. Yeah. So I think he was an inaugural Gold Coast.
Yeah. So he's still got a fair bit of room for a ruckman. So it'd be good to see if he gets proper game time, and I don't think he's got much competition in the ruck.
Well, Joe Witts, the
of course, yeah.
But a lot of teams are running two rucks, so...
You ruckman, see, I've done my research.
Talk about a ruckman taking a while and everything. I think it was Gorringe with his draft commentary, which was fucking fantastic, to be honest.
Awesome.
He said, if you're a 200-centimetre bloke, go in the AFL draft. You get picked up.
Yeah.
And they'll just assume you'll take 4 to 5 years to mature. So if you're shit, you get 4 to 5 years, a couple hundred grand a year, you're fucking laughing.
Exactly. If you're 200 centimetres, you've got 5 years grace.
Yeah.
There's $1 million in your pocket. Fucking go back to uni.
That's it. The other one I thought was interesting was Hugh Greenwood, obviously coming over from Adelaide, who's been very, very handy and late to the AFL as well, so a mature age.
Yep.
Yeah, but I felt like that was less, I want to go to Gold Coast, and was just anywhere but Adelaide.
Yep, absolutely. You got a feeling that he was not happy with how things were.
And he wasn't the only bloke there.
No.
They had a bit of an exodus in the end.
Yeah,
a little bit.
No one gives a shit about anyone leaving Adelaide now. Originally, they were like, I'm ringing him up. I'm following around. He's chucking, chucking his kid out in the dump. And everyone's like, yeah, it's another one. Fuck it, we're over it.
Yeah. But he played some good footy in the last couple of years in Adelaide.
Yeah, he really did.
He was easily best 22 and oftentimes ended up in the best players for the week.
And pops up on the score sheet very, very regularly.
Yeah.
You know, for a bloke that you sort of, you worry about their, you know, Betts or Walker or even Jenkins, and you go, this little fucker's popped up for 3 goals again?
Yeah.
Who the fuck's on him? You know? But anyway, hopefully he's happier up on the Gold Coast. They're outs. Michael Riscatelli is finally retired after the AFL tried to retire him the year before with the early highlights package. But
that's right, yeah.
You got to say, for all the recycled players that have gone up there, he's probably been one of the better ones. He's given them good service.
Got a bit of longevity out of him, I guess. Oh, actually, how long was he there for?
Not from the start, but close to it, I think.
Yeah.
Because he was a Brisbane Lions best and fairest when he went over there.
Yeah, right.
Tom Nichols has pulled the pin on his career. I think a little bit of head knocks, but also just not enjoying AFL footy. And, you know, you can understand that when you're suffering concussion as well as losing week in, week out.
Mm-hmm.
He played some good footy at times. I thought he'd be handy, but you can tell if your heart's not in it, you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And obviously Jack Martin, who's a very interesting one because he's a former top 10 draft pick, But they played hardball, wouldn't trade him to Carlton, so Carlton picked him up for nothing as a delisted free agent.
Which is kind of crazy, yeah. You expect to be a bit better at the negotiating table than that.
Well, how do you take that? Because either they let him go for unders, or they let him go for nothing and send a message.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Carlton are a bit ruthless. They're all about, you know, backdoor deals. Just throw a bit of cash, you know, help them out, a bit of charity.
See, what they should do now is that Soss managed to get Martin to Carlton, get Soss up to Gold Coast.
Soss is all the way out, isn't he?
Well, he's out.
He's done, yeah.
He's done.
Done and dusted. And then get him to draft the Suns and say, yeah, now you can still stay.
Actually, he might get his old man up there for a coaching gig too, or a recruiting gig.
Surge?
No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Son of sauce of sauce. Yeah. Fuck, yeah.
All right. Anyway.
I don't think Jack Silvani can recruit himself.
Yeah.
I think that would be frowned upon.
Well,
that happened in the AFLW.
AFLW, Richmond did it, yep. And Callum Archie has gone home to WA. It was, again, a handy player, but it's the kind of player that they usually pick up in the off-season rather than get rid of.
Yeah, well, he only went across town.
Oh, sorry, he did too. He went to Brisbane, not to West Coast. He came over from there. All right, so their draw for next year. Oh, sorry, no, that's it for the outs. There were some more, but there were rookies and players that not even the Gold Coast people.
Well, yeah, Nutting and Wig.
Actually, Wig came across from Adelaide just so last year, I think. So he might find himself getting a second chance, I reckon, in a couple of years after some state league footy.
Yeah.
Their double ups for next year. They've got Brisbane, obviously, Port, Frio, Sydney and Melbourne. So obviously that's as generous as they could possibly be with their double ups.
Well, the problem with AFL at the moment, I feel like it's not evening out, but there's a whole lot more game styles to be able to win matches and put yourself in the running, and Gold Coast don't have any of them.
No, not well, yet.
So even if we look at double ups, there's still not looking like Gold Coast can get 2-0 against many of those teams.
Yeah, sometimes what a team is good at in their game plan can be to one of the rock, paper, scissors versus other teams. Like a long kicking team will have an advantage over a possession based team. A running team has an advantage over the long kicking team.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. But Gold Coast really don't excel in any one area.
Like I said, we just don't know what their style is yet because they're not good enough to show us.
Yeah, but I don't know whether it's the team not adapting to the style or the style not being chosen that benefits the team.
I mean, it could be.
And it's generally, if your team isn't that skilled, which they've got plenty of skill, they just don't have the maturity, they go for hard. So you can be a tough at the ball team if you lack a certain amount of polish. Yeah. But they don't have the mature bodies for that style either. So they're sort of, they're not big enough to be tough. They're not quick enough to be quick. Not long, not mature enough to play at a high level at any area except for innovation, if you like, or youthful exuberance.
But at the same time, you don't want a game plan that's going to try and get you four wins this year instead of three. You know what I mean? They are looking at, okay, where are we going to be in 2 or 3 years' time? What kind of footy do we want that team to be playing?
Yeah.
We need to start teaching it now.
Yeah, and also it requires a bit of a investment and commitment from your players going to stay there. And that's why I think the likes of Brendan Oscar up there and showing how you actually train, not how you play, but how you train, is going to make a massive difference on how that actually works. So I think that's the first change you make. And the coaches can have the best plan or whatever, but if they don't have the people on the field to be able to follow through with the coaches, then it's not going to make a whole lot of difference because you need those people to, I don't know, it's almost like there's coaches are always like the father figures, you know what I mean? It's easier in your private time when they're not around to not listen to them, but not take it as seriously as you should.
And go off the rails like they have. Yeah. And that's probably why in the offseason they made a big play for Sean Burgoyne.
Yeah.
And they should have.
Yeah, absolutely. What they should have done. It didn't work, but you know what? You've got to throw your hat in the ring.
I would have given him five.
I would have too, without joking.
He wouldn't play those five.
No.
But if you get him in the Guernsey, that's your job done.
And what's the AFL going to do? Fine them?
Yeah.
But he's not the only player out there they could have gone for, you know?
Yeah,
you spent a lot of time on him, but Grant Birchall went up to Brisbane. Why not put some time into him as well?
Yep.
There are other players out there as well.
I think what they desperately need is a don't fuck up my club player.
Yeah.
Just a player who burns to put the Guernsey on, and I don't see any of them like that.
Yeah.
And I don't the culture isn't one that generates success or pride that much. In the last few years, they've got a combined total of 10 wins?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, it's hard to be proud of the club when you're pulling that on.
Yep.
But plenty of other teams have had that sort of lack of success, like Melbourne being one that's been recent, and you know, throwing Carlton as well, even though they've had premierships that people have been alive for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can throw Richmond in there too.
Not this century.
Yeah, well, people have lived through them.
Yeah.
But it's, you need that player who, if someone's out of line, they're willing to pull them straight back in line to say, you know, don't disrespect my club. I don't think they've got it. I think they've got a lot of young leadership.
Yep.
But no one who's that, I guess, dyed in the wool, loves the club, won't let anyone mess it up for them, kind of thing.
Well, and obviously they're a young club, so there's nobody who was barracked for Gold Coast growing up.
Yeah.
Because they didn't exist.
And all their club legends aren't there anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Their last, you know, I think this year, I don't know who won their best and fairest this year, but it'll be the first year in the last couple where the best and fairest hasn't left at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Probably Swallow.
Or their captain, sorry. Yep. The captains haven't left.
Captains always leave, yeah.
That's been last three captains have left them.
Yeah.
Once they left the side. Who's in for a big year?
I mean, I hope it's going to be some of the young lads.
Yeah.
Like, I hope to see Rankine have a good year.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting a hell of a lot from him.
No. Lukosius and Rankine King all lining up for their second year.
Yeah.
And you know how much I believe in the second year Blues.
And also, when we say a big year, we're not expecting much.
No.
So a big year is playing consistent footy, getting on the park consistently.
Well,
you're not expecting, you know, 3-4 goals a game and 30 possessions. But if you're consistently getting 20 possessions and using them well, I think that's a good result
for those players.
That's
exactly what I was thinking. 22, 23 touches a game for those two, Lukosius and Rankine.
And clangers and turnovers, I think, is a big one. Yep. Just how you use the ball is going to be the biggest, most important factor for those kids.
Well, I think the big year they need is Ellis.
Yeah.
He's going to need to be the on-field leadership that they recruited him for.
Well, what's his decision-making like in the back lines for the Tigers?
Not great. Definitely don't put him on the left wing.
He has 1 foot. Yeah.
Yep. But he's got guts. He's got determination.
He's got 100% effort. 100% of the time.
Yeah.
How long's his contract? 3 years?
Minimum, I think.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. 600 a year.
Yeah. I mean, he could be one of those players that you do turn into don't fuck up my club.
Yeah.
If he's that elder statesman. He's not going to be I don't see them making him captain. I think that'd be a bad move. But I can see him being sort of the vice-captain, captain blood and guts kind of thing out there if they need him to be that.
Still be an on-field leader.
Exactly. And he's got that pride in himself that hopefully he just bleeds out to the rest of the team.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, be the only premiership player on their list. He's somebody that you can set the example. Even if he's not a marshalling or a general or a highly skilled player, you're right. His dedication on the field is second to none.
Off the field, because his ability to prepare himself has to be excellent. Because if you're not training the house down, Richmond ain't giving you a game.
Yeah,
and he came back from stints in the VFL.
Exactly, he played I think the most consecutive games besides Deledio, and then got dropped in important games and went back and worked on what he needed to work in.
Yep.
Got a lot fitter as well. And he made himself be able to play multiple positions. He can push in the midfield.
There's a lot for his temperament.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, too, Gold Coast need that attitude because at the moment, if you're a skilled player, you're getting a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can,
if you're not injured.
Yeah. You can sort of, not slack off, but not mentally be dialed in your training and still get a gig.
The positions, there's no pressure on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And even with Ellis not being captain, you would hope not, it's still, he'd have to be in very close conversations with Stewie Jew just to give that feedback coming back from the group and see what's going on. And even coming up with different ways that Stewie Jew can coach, because he's been part of a successful club that built themselves from last or second last.
From the doldrums.
Yeah, from the doldrums. So they know what it takes, and they've got a system that has been replicated, but it's not so much about the system that you play, it's about the culture that you create behind the games. You can have a system that has to suit your group, but there has to be a culture that supports that.
Well, that's what I mean. The coach can set the standard, but it's the players and the peers around them that make sure that standard's enforced.
Yeah.
And Gold Coast don't have that at the moment. Ellis is one of the players that could start instigating that.
Yep, absolutely.
So getting a bunch of people who are willing to say, nah, that's not happening at my club. Pull your head in or us, we're going to fine you ourselves or drop you, whatever.
All right, so who's on the chopping block this then for the Gold Coast?
I mean, fucking everyone, really. But I think this is going to be the one where Stewie Jew is actually...
It's funny, isn't it? It's everyone, but it's no one at the same time.
Yep,
Because there isn't pressure on those positions, but...
Well, every player on their list has potential. And if at the end of the season, pick random five players, Gold Coast decide, we're parting ways with you, they'll be looked at by the teams, but they won't be getting top dollar.
Well, especially if, they muck around and get more top 10 draft picks and in next year's draft, if you've got to add another three players in the, let's say, top 20 picks, there's three other players you've got to make spots for, don't you? So I've had a look at their list, and they got a lot of journeymen, and filler type players that they picked up over the last couple of years that haven't really kicked on yet. And I'm thinking like Jordan Murdoch, Holland Smith, Corey Ellis, who's 2 years up there now, and Miles as well, who's at his third club. Now, especially those last two guys, again, from Richmond, from a successful club and system, that went up there and weren't getting the opportunities at Richmond.
Yeah.
Went up there and you go, what have you done, mate?
Well, that's it. And then when they did get the opportunities, like Miles especially, one of the best VFL players he had consistently year after year. But when he got the shot in the AFL, just never really stepped up. And so you were hoping to see more out of him when he went up to Gold Coast. Bit less pressure on him, but didn't really come through. So you have to say that he's definitely on the chopping block.
Well, there's those kind of players at that age as well, when they've gone so heavy in drafting, that you go, well, guys, you're here because we need warm bodies. You've got to make a case for yourself.
And basically nothing.
Yeah, and you've got to make a case for yourself, in the next couple of years in order to stay.
And you just hope that they've got people coming through that can push them out.
Yeah, so exactly.
The young kids have to make it an easy choice for the coach to be like, all right, well, he's done.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the factor that they don't need more youth.
No.
Their 2020 draft picks, they should fucking trade them as much as possible to get players in. Like, if it means you trade off a couple of draft picks for, I don't know who's... If you could trade three top 20 picks for a Nat 5, you fucking do it. Trade five top 20 drafts, whatever.
Exactly. But that's not going to happen. But there's going to be...
there'll be an emerging player who...
Elite talent available.
Yeah. Like, it won't be a Bontempelli, but maybe a Jack McRae, for example, or a Dunkley.
Yeah. Those kind of guys. I mean, you're not going to get the ones we named, but there are big names that move clubs.
Yeah.
You've got a chance to make a play for them.
Yeah,
And these guys are probably ones that are going to have to move on.
Hmm.
One stat we want to bring in now is coaching pressure. So how much pressure is the coach under after we had, what do we have, four or five finish up last year?
Yeah.
So, blood was in the water. So this will be Stewie Jew's third year. He's gone 4 wins, 3 wins. So how much pressure do you think he's under?
Oh, 8.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
10 being obviously you're fucked.
Yeah.
And 1 out of 10 being you've just won a flag.
10 is when the board says we're right behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not expecting on-field results. I'm expecting some just basically just pride in the club. Yeah. Have a system in place that's realistic, achievable, and you can show that you're going to be able to do that. I think he's under quite a lot of pressure, but who's on their board? Does anyone know off the top of their head?
Yeah. Tony Cochran.
Yeah.
He's the president of the club, I think.
Yeah, right.
Or is he the CEO? I've forgotten.
GM, CEO, president.
He's on the board. Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Obviously he's not too adverse to putting someone under the pump. So you'd have to say that Struzzi's under quite a bit of pressure.
Well, I'm going a little bit less. I said 6 out of 10 because, wins aren't what they're after.
Yeah.
Especially the way that they've attacked the draft.
Yeah.
And they've got Anderson and Raul picks one and two this year, plus some others, you know, early on.
Yeah.
So you can see that they've gone, we've got all these kids, you know. Yep. They're 18 and 19 year olds, like that's their core.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. They're not looking for 6-8 wins this year.
Yeah. See, I'm going with 8 as well, but I think Stu Jude does have a good idea of what he's doing, obviously, and I think he's got a good system in place that will show to the board that he's going to do it. So I would say after about round 5, he's not going to have good results, but I think you'll see something out of Gold Coast.
See, that boards aren't logical or patient. So even if Dew is doing the right things, getting the youth in for success in 3-4 years, he ain't going to be there. If they don't have success in the next year, he'll be in deep shit. And if the first few rounds of 2021, they're not getting wins on the board, he's cactus.
2021, he's in trouble.
Yep. Yeah. The thing is, I don't expect them to be able to run out a whole game to be able to beat teams.
Yeah,
but I think they'll show, if they can show fight for, you know, 2-3 quarters, some of that will get wins. But you want to see those young kids be able to make smart decisions.
What would you say is their marquee game, really? Because I know they've got the Q clash, but that's, you know, who cares?
Round one, I think I'd say. Yeah. I don't know who playing, but I'm thinking they can get off to a good start. If they're ahead by halftime of round one, I'd say that's a win.
Double ups against Melbourne. I don't know.
Yeah.
they play up in Cairns. You know, that's,
it's got to be something exciting. It's got to be something.
You're right, but they've got to make something exciting out of them. But I mean, they are at the point where they could be 1-11, and you go, you know what? But I've seen something.
Yeah.
You know what? That King's starting to clunk some big marks. And
Oh, look, I understand. That
run through the middle.
I understand irrational optimism. I mean, fuck, I'm an expert at. But I don't see that happening while the club's not showing the hunger that you need. Like teams, if they just play and suck, you can handle it if you see the players hurting and hungry. But when they just sort of accept, oh well, we got fucked.
Yeah.
What are you doing this weekend? That's when supporters get shitty.
Yeah.
All right. So lastly then, we've done our ladder predictors for 2020. Josh, where do you see Gold Coast finishing?
See, I'm actually a big believer in them. I think I can do really well compared to last few seasons. So I've got them 17th.
Which is actually up. So, I mean, 17th, if they did finish 17th, you've got to say, you know what, you've done it right.
Well, you have done somebody. Shit, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm not quite as optimistic as Josh. I've actually got them finishing 19th.
Fitzroy's going to come back and beat them.
Calder Cannon's getting a call up.
Southport Sharks.
Yeah, I think they'll lose the international rules game as well. I've got Ireland ahead of them.
I've got them finishing dead last, but I tell you what, if there is no talk of a priority pick at the end of the season, they've done it right.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, that'll do us for the Gold Coast.
Yeah, good luck. Right, peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.